Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 150 on December 4th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing the podcast, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. You can do that by going to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And now it's time to thank the new patrons. I have a new patron just since last podcast. And this person's name is Just Me, and they have pledged $5 a month. So Just Me, thank you very, very much for that generous pledge. I really appreciate it. And let's dive right into the letters. Hi, Ruby. I have over time with my wife gradually built up to her anally stimulating me. This started with me wearing an Aneros to bed of an evening on the pretext it was good for prostate massage, which was enjoyable. Over time, I coaxed her into digitally inserting her finger in my anus when we had sex. On one occasion, I suggested that I would buy a strap-on. She replied with a smile, "Sure." After investing in a high-quality strap-on with suspenders and stocking to boot, I decided to bring them out one evening. After unwrapping the items, including the dildo, she said, "How does this work?" To which I responded, "You wear it." She recoiled in horror and gave me a look of disgust. Her expressions went on for some time, and whilst I tried to explain myself, she wanted no part in it. We continue to enjoy good sex, including anal stimulation. However, pegging now appears to be off the table. This occurred some 6 months ago. How can I broach this with her again? Or should this simply remain an unfulfilled fantasy? Thanks in anticipation, Grant. Okay, Grant, so here is my advice. It seems as though when you suggested that you would buy a strap-on that she really didn't know what that meant. She does seem to be amenable to anal play. So this is a really good start. It's a very good start. So when you bought it, and I have to tell the listeners that you mentioned suspenders and stocking. You are clearly from across the pond because suspenders over where we are called garters. And I just wanted to make that clear to my listeners. So garters and stockings, yes. So you did buy a high quality harness if you bought one that had that. Anyway, when you brought those out and she realized what they were for and recoiled in horror, see, it's pretty clear she didn't know what you were talking about when you said strap on. But you have now at least introduced the concept. Clearly she wasn't thrilled about the concept, which is really unfortunate. But why don't you have a listen to podcast number 112. I recorded that podcast specifically for these situations where the concept has been introduced and then the woman can listen to the podcast. Now, it's really important that you listen to this podcast first before you let her listen to it because you are the only one that can be the judge whether it is appropriate or not for her. It's good that it's been about 6 months because she's had some time to kind of let that fade a little bit, but she needs more information and she also needs accurate information along with dispelling myths and misconceptions. She might have some fears about things. She might have misconceptions. She might believe some of the myths around pegging. So that's what this podcast is really, really good for. Listen to it yourself. See what you think. But I think it will be the perfect thing for her to listen to. It's possible that she may decide that she really doesn't want to have anything to do with this. And the most important part about that podcast is that it emphasizes the relationship above all. It's not a podcast that tries to convince. It simply gives accurate information. It corrects the myths and misconceptions. And then it emphasizes that really you asking for this is allowing her to know you on a deeper level. So it's a gift of intimacy is what it really is. So let her listen to that if you think it's the right thing, and then it'll let us know how it goes. I remain hopeful. I really do. I think that she just needs a little bit more information about how much pleasure can be experienced by prostate stimulation, because if she is a G-spot woman and enjoys G-spot stimulation, then she can relate. So Yeah, I think she needs more information, and she may have some fears, and that podcast should do the job. Please let us know how it goes, and good luck to you, sir. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this next letter was a sweet message that I got on FetLife. Hello, Miss Ruby Ryder. I would like to say a big thank you for the written pieces about pegging. I am brand new to all of this sub-dom stuff, and it has taken a lot for me to confront and come to terms with the fact that I would like to be pegged, but always feeling ashamed or there is something wrong with the fact I wish to try it. After reading your enlightening words, I feel more confident in myself, as well as telling my next partner that this is what I would like. That's the next challenge, laugh out loud. But thank you again. I look forward to reading more of your pieces, and it would be nice to hear from you. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Best wishes, B. So, I sent him a message back. B, thanks for the message. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you, and I encourage you to let go of any and all shame you have around this. It's just what turns you on. Just like the people here on FetLife who love getting beaten, it's just what turns them on. There's no reason to feel bad about it. In fact, be happy that you know what you like. I'm not sure if you found my website, but let me direct you to a couple of things. And then I sent some links for B to a few pieces. Reassurance for Men, podcast number 112 for the ladies, which we just spoke about, for when he finds his next partner. And solo ass play, because I do recommend solo ass play for men who have not gotten to the point of pegging yet. It's a way of getting to know your own ass. It's a way of getting to know the pleasure in your own ass. So when you do find a partner and pegging commences, it'll be much easier because you'll know what turns you on. You'll know what works. You'll know how slow you need to take it. You'll know so many things about your body. And usually the comparison I give here is, if you are a man, would you like to have sex with a woman who has never ever masturbated? If she knows her body well, then it makes everything so much easier because she can tell you what she likes, what she doesn't. Same thing applies here, gentlemen. If you know your ass well, you will know what to ask for. You will know what feels good to you and what doesn't. So there is a link also for solo ass play. It's an article I wrote that I encourage any guys out there in the same situation as B is who wrote this letter into me. And you're right on the verge and you're interested and you're kind of trying to get past the shame. Check out the solo play article and start playing with your own ass if you haven't already. And B, thanks for writing in. I really appreciate the kind words about my writing and stuff. I'm glad if I helped you feel less ashamed about anal play, because nothing to be ashamed about. Asses are fun. Okay, it's pegging celebration time. This is another letter I got on FetLife, and it is titled Anal Training. The thought of pegging is extremely arousing, and most videos online make it look so easy, or so we thought. So off we went and bought a strap-on. We looked at it, felt, and smelled it. Yes, it's a keeper. It looked nice, felt firm but soft, and smelled good. With great reverence and pride, we laid to rest our pride possession in our toy chest. Weeks went by, and finally one evening we thought to try it. We got the good old lube out, strapped the toy on. No luck. My bum didn't find the act so exciting after all. So what? We let it be and enjoyed the evening. Some months passed, and again we got super excited about the strap-on, and yet again, access denied. So what's wrong? How come so-and-so on FetLife and such on FetLife do it so easily? No idea. Anyway, we put the strap-on away and had yet another great evening. Then it occurred to me that maybe I should talk to people who actually enjoy it. So I asked several, and they all said the same thing, patience and training. Thank you, kinksters, you know who you are. So here is what worked for me. Beware, it may not work for you. Step one, priming my toys. Cleaned my sink and filled it with warm water and left my plugs in. Step 2, priming myself. I took a pea-sized portion of coconut oil, which is solid in room temperature, and gently spread it on my index finger, forefinger using my thumb. Some of the oil melted to become liquid, some stayed solid. Squatting down, I gently massaged my sphincter in circles around it and slowly started applying steady pressure using the tip of my two fingers. Finally, I felt myself relax. Now, I took another pea-sized portion of coconut oil and inserted it gently into my anus. I let it stay for about 15 seconds, still massaging myself. Gently, I inserted a finger in, slowly, and made sure it felt nice and slippery. Step 3, lubing the toy. I went to the sink and took the smallest plug out of the water and dried it. Since it's warm now, the coconut oil will melt on it, and secondly, my body would receive it much better than a cold toy. I took still another bit of coconut oil and patiently applied it on the plug. A gentle to-and-fro motion covered it all nicely. I made sure that the narrow neck near the flare was well lubed, since that's going to be where my body holds the toy. Step 4, insertion. This is the part that caused anxiety. Although the thought of it was exciting, at this point I had to take several deep breaths and relax myself. Assuming a squatting position, I gently held the plug in one hand, the tip touching my sphincter, while my other hand I massaged myself, slowly inserting the tip of my finger in and then drawing it out. After a few strokes of it, I gently placed my plug at the rim and slowly started applying gentle pressure, just enough so that the sphincter didn't put it out. Then, slowly, I started inserting as much as I could and stopped when it felt uncomfortable. Eventually, I got the widest part just inside me, but not fully. This is where a tip someone told me helped. At this point, I moved my sphincter as if during a bowel movement. At that moment, my sphincter expanded and the widest part of the toy was drawn inside. Success! Step 5. Clean excess lube and enjoy. Using toilet paper, I wiped excess lube around my plug and on my butt cheeks. I wore it like that for half an hour. Step 6. Re-lube. Gently holding the base of the plug, I gently pushed the toy out, not forcefully, but in gentle movements. After about 5 expansions, a slight pull got the plug out. I cleaned the plug and re-lubed it and inserted it again. Progress so far. In under a week, I was easily inserting my medium-sized plug. On the 4th day, I tried inserting the largest plug after I had worn the medium one for an hour. I tried on 3 consecutive days, and it was painful and uncomfortable. But on the 4th day or so, it slid in well. Voila! 2 weeks on, and I don't need the medium-sized plug to pry me. I can insert the largest plug in with a lot of lube and a moderate amount of patience. Lube, insert, in and out, and gentle push. And now I thought I was ready to be pegged. So what I just read you was actually something that was a writing on a profile on FetLife. And this guy wrote me a private message saying just this: after years, parentheses 3 to be exact, and a lot of frustration, I finally had some success in opening up. Now to slowly move into the territory of pegging. So I responded to him and wrote, 3 years, wow. When you describe how everything happened, it sounds like when you got together for pegging, there was no foreplay, and that when you finally trained yourself to accept the toys, you were basically doing your own foreplay. Is this true? Because only people who have anal sex often can accept a toy with no foreplay. And by foreplay, I mean anal foreplay, not just kissing and caressing. Anal play using one finger, playing around, caressing the rectal opening, slowly easing 2 fingers in there, you know, like this. And then I linked to my article of anal play for couples. Or did you indeed do foreplay, but you were just nervous and tight? Either way, so glad to hear you finally got there. What happened with the pegging? Success? And he responded, oh, we did try some foreplay, but I'm a bit tight down there. Plus, the fear factor made it rather difficult to enter. Even one finger was a hard task. In fact, too invasive, I would say. The plugs really helped. Pegging wasn't much of a success, not that we didn't penetrate, but it was rather hard to find a position. Our bed is rather high, and I'm 6 foot tall, so the position was uncomfortable. But we couldn't go at it for long, got tiresome and strenuous. Plus, it was a completely different feel for her. We will try again in a few months, yes, but till then, I'll be keeping myself stretched with the plug. Well, first of all, yay, that you did the pegging. And when you were talking about even one finger felt invasive, that's definitely the fear factor because, you know, what comes out of you is bigger than one finger, definitely. But you're used to that coming out of you. You know, that's been happening your whole life. And something going in can definitely have a fear factor attached to it. So good for you for working yourself through it. That's awesome. And training yourselves with bigger plugs. Training yourself isn't this huge, complicated thing. And your piece of writing describes it perfectly. This is how you train yourself. You know, you do the foreplay yourself, you put the plug in, and you slowly, slowly work up through the bigger sizes. So this is perfect. Now, about the pegging part being uncomfortable, now you are experiencing the difficulties that a lot of couples who are new to pegging experience. Difficulties in finding the position that works for you because it depends on how your bodies match up. And then the discovery that, yes, it can be tiresome and strenuous, indeed. Especially for the woman, because we haven't done this before, and it uses groups of muscles that we had no idea we needed to actually fuck someone. So that is just a matter of practice. I'm so glad to hear that you will be trying it again in a few months, and that after 3 years you finally have gotten there. Talk about persistent. So that's why I played the music for you guys. After reading all that, because you deserve it. You absolutely deserve it. It may not have been the wild success that you wanted it to be, but you got there, so good for you. Thanks for writing in and sharing all that information. There are definitely men out there who have a tough time having any sort of penetration happening. So this will be valuable information. Keep on practicing and have fun. Happy pegging. This was a comment on my article approaching her about pegging on my website, Pegging 101. Some time ago, I brought up the subject of pegging to my wife, and she was very hesitant. She didn't flat out say no, but pretty close. Her reasoning for not wanting to peg me is that in her mind, she would not have the strong, macho man that she married, parentheses, her words, and that this act would somehow remove that image for her. I tried my best to convince her that I would still be strong and macho for her, but she wouldn't budge. She lets me do almost anything anal for her, as she enjoys this, but not very frequently. Also, I have talked with her about me enjoying the same anal play that she gets. Again, she won't change her mind. What am I doing wrong, and how can I present a better case to her to open her mind to pegging me? I don't think that you're doing anything wrong. That's my personal opinion, is that you're absolutely not doing anything wrong. It is common, unfortunately, in our society to conflate weakness and vulnerability. Getting pegged, doing anal play, being penetrated anally is something that requires vulnerability. Anybody who has had anything stuck in their ass knows this. You need to let go, you need to receive, and you need to allow yourself to be vulnerable. This does not mean you are weak. It absolutely does not mean you are weak. And so she's wanting the strong macho guy. I'm going to refer you to an interview I did, and I'm going to put the link for that interview podcast on my blog in the Linkorama when I post this podcast up. And it is with Mark the Marine, and Mark loves pegging. So if there's anybody out there who is macho and strong, I would say it would probably be a U.S. Marine. So maybe your wife might want to listen to that. So another thing that might be happening is she might be equating being penetrated to you having bisexual urges or wanting to have some sort of interaction with a man. This is a really common thing for women in the beginning. Very common. So once again, I would refer you to podcast number 112 for her to listen to. If there's anything that's going to calm her fears, open her mind up, and reassure her that you are going to be just as strong and macho after she pegs you as before, it would probably be this podcast. And once again, please listen to it yourself before you allow her to listen to it, because only you can decide whether it's appropriate for your wife or not. So those are the things that I would recommend. So the last thing I'm going to mention is that sometimes there are women who have a need to see their male partners always as strong and macho. Maybe not the macho part, but always like strong and capable. The point being, it's really important for the women to never ever see their partners as weak. There's one more link that I'm going to put in my Linkorama. And this is a video by Brené Brown, and it is on vulnerability. It speaks to that. Vulnerability is really important to allow and to embrace, and it has nothing to do with weakness. So that's another thing that she can watch and take a look at. Hopefully that will help. Please let us know how it goes, and good luck to you, sir. Thanks for writing in. Okay, here's an email. Hi, Ruby. Thanks to your podcast, my wife and I have added pegging to our bedroom play menu. I love that, our bedroom play menu. The question comes after our longest pegging session of about 10 to 15 minutes. My wife had pain in her C-section scar for hours afterwards. I am wondering if you could recommend a harness that might not cause the pain in the C-section scar. My wife is about 5'4", 150 pounds. We currently have a Sport Cheats corset style harness. Here's a link to the product. I would be willing to invest in a new harness if it meant no more pain for my wife. It could be an awesome Christmas present for both of us. Thank you for your time and keep the great informative podcast going. Travis. So Travis, the harness that you have is one that fits a little bit high, which is common for less expensive harnesses. The best harness that I know of in terms of being able to slide it down and make the base of that dildo fit really well over the clitoral area, which is really where it should be, is the Aslan Leather Jaguar. And if you have a lovely large wife, get the Aslan Leather Minx. That's the best harness for a lower fit. And that way, the base of that toy is going to be over her clitoral area where it should be. Now, here's another thought, though. It could be that the fit of the harness is not the problem. It could be that exercising that area, thrusting, using muscles perhaps that she hasn't in a long time, that this is what's causing the pain in the scar. You know, when you have a surgery somewhere, you have a scar, and then you do something that involves that area, sometimes you will have pain in that area because what you're doing maybe is breaking up scar tissue and things like that. So the question would be, does that harness that you already have fit high up, and does the base of the toy sit either really close to or right on her C-section scar? That would be what I would check. If it does, get the other harness and use that. If it doesn't, and you are able to take that harness and fit it way low down, then I think it's just a matter of practice. It could be scar tissue that she's working through, and try it again and see if there is pain. You mentioned the one time, so I don't know if this is something that happens frequently or just this once, but I totally get how you want to fix this, because it's not a fun thing when you are trying to peg someone and it hurts. That, or even if it hurts afterwards, that's no good. You got to have something that fits well. So that's my advice. I'll put a link in the Linkorama to those two leather harnesses. And good luck with that. And I hope you get pegged a whole bunch over the holidays. Thanks for writing in. Okay, so this is a comment on my article, Do Women Love Pegging? On my website, Pegging 101. Okay, so I tried pegging with my ex a good few years ago. It was her fantasy, and loved every minute of it. Since we broke up, I have not had the pleasure again, and would love to act that fantasy again. I love my current partner and would do anything for her. However, I have mentioned this fetish/fantasy of mine on a few occasions, and have been told under no circumstances is this something she would entertain. I am slightly older, being 32, and my better half being 27. Other than my fetish not being acted upon, our sex life is great. I'm not going to lie, though, the majority of porn I watch is pegging, and knowing she is not interested raises this fetish even more. Any suggestions on what's best to do in this situation? Well, yes, I have plenty of suggestions. I always have plenty of suggestions. Thanks for writing in and sharing your situation with us. The ubiquitous podcast number 112 is obviously something I would recommend, and you always need to listen to that yourself first before you allow your partner to listen to it. The wording that you used makes her sound very determined that this is not something that she wants to do. So it's quite possible that it is not something she ever wants to do. But this is not a black and white situation. So let's back up a little bit and talk about the things that you can possibly do to enjoy this with her, to change her mind, to open her mind about it, this kind of thing. Podcast number 112 is definitely one thing. Having a sit-down, serious, heart-to-heart conversation with her is another thing. To tell her how much pleasure it brings you and that you love to do things with her that bring her pleasure and that you would like her to be open to exploring this. And the whole point of this heart-to-heart conversation is that you want her to know how important this is to you. Now, when you have this conversation, please be sure that you don't approach it as something that you're embarrassed about, something that you feel like is a horrible thing. Like Dan Savage would say, don't present it as if you have leukemia. It's something that you take pleasure from, and it's totally okay to take pleasure from that. If she wants to explore it with you, then she will, but if she doesn't, it's not like you need to be ashamed or embarrassed that you have this thing that you like to do. So that is an important part of when you have that conversation with her. But just to let her know that this is something that is important to you and that you would appreciate her being open-minded to it and checking it out. Probably good to have her listen to the podcast first, because when you just get a no from somebody in this situation like this, you don't know what's behind the no. And if you know what's behind the no, if she's given you reasons, then it's easier for you to talk with her about it and kind of keep the door open, if you will. But you don't know what those reasons are. Or if she did present reasons, you didn't share them with me. So I'm going to kind of assume that she didn't. And if that's the case, then it could be that her reasons for saying no are misconceptions or myths, and she doesn't have accurate information, which is why podcast number 112 might do the trick. So, one of the links that I'm going to put in the Linkorama is an article about approaching her about pegging. You need to read this whole thing and check it out because it's really important information. It addresses a whole bunch of stuff. Read that first and then listen to the podcast number 112. If you think it's appropriate for her, ask her to listen to it and then go from there and see what happens. Please, though, be prepared for the possibility that she may just not want to ever do this. One of the things about podcast number 112 is that it emphasizes the relationship, like I spoke of earlier in this podcast. So it emphasizes that this is not a black and white situation. This is something that you enjoy, anal play. Maybe she'd be willing to, you know, handhold something as opposed to strapping it on. Maybe she'd be fine with you putting a butt plug in while you fuck her. There's a bunch of different choices. So it's not black and white. Disaster has not struck if she decides she never ever wants to peg you. Let us know how it goes. I will be dearly hoping to be able to play the music for you soon, and I'm crossing my fingers for you. Thanks for writing in and good luck. Okay, here's another email. I listened to your recent podcast story about the married couple who were enjoying pegging when he began to fantasize about sucking a real cock, later meeting a gay friend and getting off with anal sex, which I found quite erotic. I am a straight married man, married 30 years. My wife is a plain vanilla sex partner. Some time ago, I began to explore solo anal play and bought some sex toys. I found your website and took some advice from you and approached my wife with my interest in exploring pegging. She was negative to the idea, so I continued with some solo play, which I enjoy. She is unaware of this, as I do it privately. I recently began to have a fantasy about having anal sex with the real thing. This was only enhanced with your recent story of pleasure. I don't think I will ever get to that stage, given my age and circumstances. I'm thinking I should give up anal solo play altogether. I know you believe I should approach my wife again. I don't think she will go along. Any thoughts you might have on the subject are appreciated. Married straight guy. So, here are my thoughts on this. First of all, there's absolutely no reason to give up anal solo play. Why would you do that? This is something you find pleasurable, so keep doing it because you find it pleasurable. The only reason to stop is if you don't find it pleasurable anymore. Now, I know how much you would really like this to be a stepping stone to pegging, but if for whatever reason it doesn't end up being a stepping stone to pegging, you enjoy it. So why would you stop doing it if you enjoy it? So, moving on to the wanting it to be a stepping stone to pegging with your wife. So, here's the deal. You don't mention how you spoke with her about it. You don't mention whether you sent her to my website, whether you just kind of mentioned it, how you mentioned it, whether she's listened to podcast number 112. Lots of questions here. You just mentioned that you brought it up to her and she said no. The same advice that I've been giving over and over and over again on this podcast. It's funny, when I put all of these letters together, I didn't realize how many of them there were with the same vein. And once again, podcast number 112, listen to it yourself first, make sure it's appropriate for her, and then ask her to listen to it. The other thing that I would recommend for you is I would recommend that you go to mojoupgrade.com. Because it sounds like you've been married for 30 years, you're doing the vanilla sex thing, and maybe yes, maybe no, but I would look at it like I'm ready to spice things up. So one of the ways to do that is to go to Mojo Upgrade, because what ends up happening is that you get asked all these questions about what you might be into sexually, and there's a ton of them, and you answer yes, no, or maybe. So you do this separately, and then the program takes your answers, puts them together, and then sends you a list of the things that you either both said yes on, one said yes, one said maybe, or both said maybe. If anybody said no, those things aren't on there. So, as an aside, not even talking about the pegging thing, I would suggest that you two go there and check that out, because it'll give you a list of fun things to do that you enjoy and new things that you haven't tried before. And some of those things are pretty tame, but they're fun and they're sexy and they're erotic. It's not all hardcore stuff, you know. And I should say also that it's not all really advanced stuff. It's not all varsity level. I do consider pegging to be pretty varsity. And perhaps opening up a little bit and sharing some fun, erotic, playful, not varsity level stuff might really be fun for your relationship, whether or not you ever get to the pegging thing. I'm hoping you do get to the pegging thing. So I would suggest podcast number 112, and I would also suggest to you, sir, reading the article about convincing her to try it. So that's going to be in the Linkorama, and you may or may not have read that already. You really didn't mention, but I wouldn't give up the solo play. And as far as experiencing that with another man, that's a whole nother ball of wax. And I think that that's what you alluded to when you said you didn't think you would ever get to that stage given your age and circumstances. Yes, the marriage would definitely be the circumstance that would preclude that. So check out the article, listen to the podcast, see if she'll listen to the podcast, and good luck to you. And try the Mojo Upgrade if it calls to you. Go check it out and see what you think. I've had couples go there and say that it was just the coolest thing ever, because then they had this list to explore. So, it's like Friday night comes, or whatever night that you do sexy times, if you do it on a specific night, or maybe you're both feeling adventuresome, or maybe you don't have a certain night of the week and you're just seeing that one thing on the list and saying, hey, I want to try that with you. It can be a very cool thing, so consider that as well. Good luck to you, and please let us know how it goes. Okay, here's another letter. G'day, Ruby. So here is an email from the other side of the world, and from the other side of my gorgeous wife's pegging celebration story that you read on podcast number 148. As she said, we did everything wrong our first time, from how I approached it, to the cheap, nasty toy we bought, and worst of all, not communicating. When I found out she had told her friend about it, I was so hurt and angry, it nearly ruined pegging for me forever. I am not solely blaming this on my wife, as neither of us handled it very well, but I had no wish to explore this any further with her. However, the fantasy still remained very strong. I should point out that my beautiful wife started all of this around 2.5 years into our relationship. by playing with my ass using her fingers and even a very small vibrator. I was reluctant at first, but after realizing how good it felt, soon became an eager participant. Being the sexy goddess my wife is, of course, the idea of her fucking me with a strap-on turned me on so much, I just had to ask her to try it. That's where it all went downhill. One night, while very drunk and during sex, I popped the question. She, being the amazing woman she is, said yes, but later admitted it was quite a confronting way to be asked. To all the men out there, please don't make my mistake in this. While one or two drinks may help to loosen the mood, being drunk is a bad idea. And as has been said before, keep those conversations out of the bedroom. As for our first strap-on, it was marketed as a beginner kit. The harness, while not being very comfortable, was not that bad, but the dildo was terrible. It smelled horribly of chemicals, and actually gave me a burning sensation the two times we did use it. After what I classify as the first two failed attempts, all ass play for me stopped. For years. We still had a reasonably healthy sex life, considering all the ups and downs of life, working away, buying a house, having kids, and getting married. Then came our honeymoon. We left the kids with family and took off on a 2-week camping road trip. There was a couple of long days driving, and during this time we spoke like we hadn't done for years. It was amazing. One of the things that came up was pegging. Over many hours, we spoke about where we had gone wrong all those years ago and agreed to give it another go. Not long after returning, I stumbled across a pegging erotica story that I loved called Power Play. I found the story so hot that I wanted to know if the author had any more pegging stories. When I clicked the author's profile, I found a link to a website. And that is how I ended up on Pegging Paradise and how I found you, Ruby. You provided all the information I needed to fix my past mistakes, and in no time at all we had new toys. My sexy wife was balls deep in me, she was loving it, I was loving it, and we really owe it all to you. You do amazing work, and I thank you for helping us along our way. Aside from the pegging, our sex life has improved in so many ways since finding your site. I'm sorry for the long email, and I know I'm not much of a writer, so it may be annoying to read for someone of your writing talents, but the thrill of hearing you read what were clearly my wife's words on podcast number 148, I was inspired to tell my side of the story. Hopefully you may find a quick spot on your podcast for this, so my wife can get the thrill of hearing my words read. I would also be more than happy to answer any questions. It's the least I can do. Thank you again, Ruby, and we shall continue happily pegging down under. I do really, really enjoy hearing both sides of a story. That's the best, because you just get so much more of the picture that way. All the stories are awesome, but when you hear just one side of the story, that's all you get. And it can be a totally awesome story, but those little subtleties and things that interweave when you hear the other side of it are always so interesting. So yes, I treasure hearing from both partners. Thank you so much for writing in. I love the balls deep. Your sexy wife was balls deep in you and loving it. And please, the whole thing about writing in and thinking you don't have any writing talents, this was a perfectly fine letter. You did a great job on it. So let that go, sir. Your mention of my story, Power Play, it's interesting. I'm pretty sure where you found that was Lit Erotica. I have it posted there, but I do have it posted a few other places. And I make sure to link to my website. And if anybody listening wasn't aware, I do have erotic pegging stories on my website. There's a drop-down tab called Erotica, and one of the links in that drop-down is the free stories. So you can find Power Play right there and read what this man wrote. And it's just so cool that you read that, you clicked on the link, and you found the website. So I am thrilled to have helped you along your path of rediscovering pegging and enjoying it so much. Clearly, you two are definitely enjoying it. Thank you so much for writing in. I really appreciate it. My husband and I love your website, and we love the advice you give. We have been doing it for about a year now, and we started off with a bend-over beginner harness kit. Now, after some discussion, we both agree we would like to get a better and more sturdy harness, and we finally decided that we would get the spare part Jacques harness. We also decided to try using a bigger dildo, something that is a little more realistic and has balls. I wanted to know if I could use a dildo like this one and have the balls in view so he can lick them. And then there's a link to Not a Good Toy, and the letter continues, would appreciate the help. Regards, Jennifer. So, first of all, the toy that you linked to, not so good. I'm going to give you some other options. There are a number of different choices of realistic dildos with balls, but the more important part is that you said that you and your husband had decided on the spare part shock. That's an excellent harness. Here is what I think might work. I found a dildo that has a base that's sort of separate, like the one that you were looking at, but it's a good material. It is made by Vixen Creations, and it's called the Goodfella. And even though you might have to work it a bit to get it into the Jacques harness, I think it'll work perfectly. I think you'll be able to sort of bend that base a little bit and get it in the Jacques harness from the outside. So, and the balls are completely separate from the base, and they should hang down quite nicely for your husband to lick. So that's the best scenario I think that I can give you. Tiffany and I are looking at realistic dildos and deciding which ones to carry, but we really don't have a line of them yet. And the closest we have is just the pseudo-realistic ones. And I'm getting that you want something much more realistic, especially if you want him licking the balls. So I think that that would be the best choice. I'll put the link for that in the Linkorama. Have fun with it. And yes, that should work with the Jacques. Thanks for writing in. Okay, and one last letter with a couple of comments. This is from Size Softly in podcast number 148 that was having the pain issues with penetration. And the first one is from him. Hey, thanks for replying. Hearing you read that out loud, oh boy, it sounded so much weirder than when I wrote that. A bit embarrassed from that one. Actually, I've been using silicone toys from the start, and KY something or other for the lube. Probably need to inspect that one a bit more thoroughly. Me and my girlfriend got into Tails for a while, too, which have stainless steel plugs, which I thought were similar. But I really only feel comfortable with the quality stuff. The rest just kind of scares me. I think I'm going to keep going to the doctor. I'm not doing much anal stuff, and it's getting worse. So that's probably the best option. Oh, and about the last bit. Yeah, I believe you're right. I have a few toys that are smaller that are so much easier and enjoyable, and I think I like that over the larger ones. It's not worth the hassle of it being a bit more painful. I think what you're doing is really cool. Thank you so much for that last comment there, and it was nice to hear back from you. So, lube, it doesn't sound like that's necessarily the problem because, you know, as someone who wrote in pointed out, you're having the pain when you have a bowel movement. So that would indicate that it's probably not the lube or the toys. And it's great that you're using quality toys. Stainless steel is totally fine. And also, don't be embarrassed. We talk about all kinds of stuff. And the way cool thing here is that the troops rallied, right? The listeners wrote in to people with some advice for you. So I'm going to read those for everybody who's listening. Here is the first one. To the listener who wrote in about anal pain and a possible anal fissure, I've suffered from similar pains and bleeding myself, not for quite as long, but definitely for at least a year. For me, it was a fissure and was extremely painful. I did happen to find a hemorrhoid ointment that was an absolute godsend. It's a natural Chinese ointment called, I'm going to do my best here, Meinglong Musk, and available on Amazon. And then he gives the link, which I'm going to put in the Linkorama. You'll see the reviews are extremely positive, and I can confirm that for me, it completely solved my issues. I'm able to take very large toys now, too, provided I've worked my way up with smaller ones. I'd recommend this for anyone suffering from hemorrhoids or fissures, and it's also great for soothing any post-pegging discomfort. awesome. So I'll put the link there. And if anybody's checking out the website, it is available in the comment section under the podcast number 148 as well, because that's where this guy wrote his stuff that I just read to you. So thank you so much for that piece of information for Sighs Softly. And here is another one. To the man who's having the pain. Not a doctor, but while some of the issue may be with lubes / toys, there is likely more than that because you are having pain when using the toilet. That said, I wouldn't jump on your doctor right now for not being more aggressive in treatment. I have had the opportunity to gain an experience of several good doctors over the past couple of years for various things, and they start with the mild interventions, such as using the Miralax, in your case to keep things soft so it can heal. If you're still having problems after a while, then they'll try the next level up in treatment. I obviously wasn't there, but if your doctor was anti-anal play, you would probably have heard about all the awful things you were doing to yourself by using your anus for sexual pleasure and how you should stop right away. Conversations with doctors around sex are awkward, so if you're otherwise happy with your doctor, don't read too much into it. I've yet to find a study showing anal play to be safe, and most doctors don't spend too much time studying sexuality beyond keeping the plumbing in order, so don't expect enthusiasm. Those are all really good points. Thank you so much for that comment, and I wanted everybody in the podcast to hear it too. It is true. Doctors don't receive much training in sexuality at all. In fact, I was at CatalystCon several years ago, and somebody brought up the fact that there's only, I think, 28 hours. I'm pulling this out of my memory. 28 hours of training for an MD in sexuality. Not about keeping the plumbing in order, but sexuality itself. So it's not surprising that they really don't know a whole lot about it. When you start throwing toys into the mix, it gets even more interesting and perhaps more foreign to them. And of course, potentially more awkward. So I think those are all really good suggestions, and it was great to hear that point of view. So thanks for writing that in. So that's it for this time. You could find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. If you order awesome Christmas toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too silly, too strange, too simple. Listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.